When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde here from Blue and Gold. Happy Wednesday. It is October 5th. As Tim and I record this show live on YouTube, appreciate everyone watching live with us, watching back, listening via podcast. You guys are the best. Tim and I love what we do, and we're glad that we get to do this show each and every week. Tim, it feels like forever since we've done this show because I've been able to talk to you because we didn't do a pregame show last week like we always do on our Fridays. We didn't do a postgame show. So, yeah, it's been a while, Tim. How you doing?
It was a good weekend is what it was. So no stress, no Notre Dame pulling your hair out at the end trying to figure out what to do. But, no, it was a great weekend. Until you think Alabama is going to go down, Mike, because they don't have their Heisman quarterback. And in comes this redshirt freshman who might be the fastest looking QB I've ever seen on the football field. So that was depressing that those dudes will not take 5 minutes off for America to catch up.
All right, folks, please do hit the thumbs up on this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel here. If you have not subscribed yet, and yeah, like Joey said, please do hit the thumbs up. Jay Carr says, "Hey Mike, it was great to meet you on Friday. Dad and I love the content." Yeah, I got to meet a couple fans when I was at Ed Geyer game last Friday.
Awesome.
Not my fans, but a couple Notre Dame fans I got to meet, which was really cool. And we will talk about that in just a few moments. But Tim, let's go ahead and get into our best thing we saw this week. What do you got?
Well, speaking of Carr, which was that post right there, was that tweet I sent you about CJ Carr's stats recently, which were just eye-popping out of the chart. I mean, like 90% completion or something, 9, 12, 10, whatever the heck. Yeah, you got the – look at that. Just crazy numbers. And then what I went and did, I went on YouTube, type in his recent games, and there's a ton of highlights on there recently watching him. And, man, he's really good.
Tim, it's called Huddle. Come on, you're a football coach. You know Huddle.
No. Well, YouTube, you get the games. Sometimes there's games. You get the local newscast. Okay. Oh, yeah, I went on there. You know, he's such obviously a big name. The local, you know, news outlets have all doing reports on him live at the games. There's all kinds of really good film recently from him. So I went and found some interviews, some highlights. He's fun to watch. He's gotten big time since last year. I'm talking about just his mechanics. Sure, he had a heck of a sophomore year, man. But when you watch that junior film, you just see the confidence growing, I felt. Like last year was his first year starting, correct? As a sophomore, he played a little bit as a freshman. They had a guy ahead of him, and now this year he's a Notre Dame guy. You know what I mean? He just wears it. You know, he had a Notre Dame wristband in one of the videos in last week's game, which was cool to see. And just his confidence level was just like, "Hey, I'm a Notre Dame quarterback. I'm going to go out there and sling it. Good luck trying to cover my guys." And it was awesome to watch. So I just love that tweet. I thought it just took a nice week off and trying to get back. Sometimes you know we. As the season goes, you forget about those 23 recruits, or at least 24, excuse me, but you forget about some of the commitments. And I went and watched some film, and his just popped out on me.
30 of 36, 490 yards and 9 touchdowns in his last two halves because they've just been blowouts. So he hasn't really been playing in the second half.
There's one real quick, Mike. There's one because people always talk about, you know, CJ Carr, what's his arm strength and whatnot. You know, he's great, accurate. There's one play from like 2 weeks ago. I mean, he throws it 60 yards in the air on a dime, drops right into the dude's lap. So that he could sling it. He's definitely got an arm. So I know people were always questioning that. No, he's got it all when you're looking at a nationally ranked quarterback, no doubt about it.
I'm going to go see him on Friday. So yeah. That will be exciting. So awesome. This will be my third, fourth, something time seeing him in person. he was so good at Irish Invasion, the camp in June. Really excited to see him in this game atmosphere. Now, I was told it's supposed to be a good one. The Cars team is 6-0, and the teams are playing Bedford, I believe. They're 4-2. So, really looking forward to seeing CJ Carr. So, make sure you lock in at blueandgold.com for all the coverage from that game. All right, mine, Tim, was just being out on the road at the Denton-Geyer game, seeing five-star safety commit Peyton Bowen. His younger brother, Eli Bowen, had a nice little game as well. Peyton had a punt return touchdown in front of his possible future head coach, I'll say, because I can't say it for sure. And really have had a ton of reporting on Peyton's situation these past few days. The Gold Standard, so that Monday morning, I try to get up on Monday morning scoop piece, all the latest in Notre Dame recruiting from what I've been able to gather those past few days before Monday. So kind of had that article, and then the actual interview that I had with Peyton ran on Tuesday morning, I believe. So you can head to Blue and Gold and check that out. But for a YouTube audience, I mean, it's Marcus Freeman. I mean, is this a darn good looking guy, charismatic guy? And you just gotta love him. Brian Kelly was not a very lovable guy. It's hard to put your arms around him sometimes. And the only thing that you'd put your arms around is the consistent winning.
Yeah.
To be determined on Freeman, but he's a lovable guy. He just is. But yeah, so
how was the atmosphere? My dad was worked for a big construction company. He spent 5 years in College Station, 5 years in Austin. He went, my dad was big, obviously, a football fan and whatnot, and grew up a really good football player in Long Beach, California. His big rival is Long Beach Poly, the school he went to. But way back when, Poly was still Poly back in those days. But the atmosphere, my dad always used to talk about Texas high school football, saying there's nothing like it. Obviously, you've been around the country. You're in Atlanta. You played in Florida. What was the atmosphere like?
All right. I think I tweeted out a picture. So this was, an hour before the game started. So it was empty. But I don't think this does it justice either. This was massive. I mean, it was a big stadium. So this, I think it's called the Collins Athletic Complex. So.
Gotcha.
Four local teams in the Denton area play here. It's my understanding. I'm no expert on it, but I don't think it's just Geyer. It was a darn good atmosphere. You have this big expensive complex, but then the sideline was the smallest width sideline I've ever been to. Who drew this up? Like to have a baby sideline. You can't even. If you're taking video like I am, you want to walk from one end zone to the next. Yeah, you got to walk through a lot of people. I thought it was really good. This is actually, believe it or not, my first time at a high school football game in Texas, at least that I can remember. Was thoroughly impressed. I'll tell you the best atmosphere pound for pound that I've been to that I can remember: Charlotte Catholic. Jack Larson School just a couple weeks ago when I was there. It was outstanding. And again, it wasn't that big of a crowd, but that place was in the student section was absolutely rocking. So right now.
You should have got tickets to St. John Bosco Modern Day this coming weekend in the Santa Ana Bowl. They're only going, I think it's all for $350 online right now. $350 for a high school football game.
Insane.
Yes.
And then I remember last year I went to Pickerington North versus Pickerington Central when Notre Dame was recruiting Sonny Styles, and that one was a lot of fun too. Just good banter back and forth between the student sections. But that's not what people are coming here to talk about. But
that's good stuff.
All right, Mr. Hyde, first segment. Here will be just a little discussion about how important this BYU game is, Tim.
Woo.
Will it make or break Notre Dame season? I'll go to you first, and then I have my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, what a statement that is right there, right? Answer that question. Good luck. Was that a five-paragraph essay? It's like,
go ahead.
I mean, that – make or break. It's a biggie because, once again, is the most important game this season the Clemson game, or is it going to be the next loss? And you hope, you know what I mean, that you hope that next loss is not Brigham Young. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're a better football team than what I've watched. But anyway, if they lose this, you're 2-3. You still got, obviously, a road trip to the Carrier Dome. I think they're going to be wounded after playing Clemson and NC State. And then you have the big boys at Clemson, who, obviously, I watched that game against NC State, and Clemson's every bit as good as advertised. So they're going to be, I mean, they're going to be 8-0 coming into South Bend. And then I actually watched USC and Caleb Williams for the first time Saturday night. And SC has a lot of holes, a lot of issues, but they got Caleb Williams, and that dude is dynamic as can be. He is legit. So this is a biggie, Mike. You win this game 99.9%. We're going to put it on Vegas on the roulette that they're going to be 6-2 playing Clemson. I truly believe so. But if you lose this game, it goes back to that UNC, the mojo. What happens? What's the mindset? I think the schedule is easy when you got Stanford, you got UNLV, you know, I mean, but Syracuse, I mean, you may have two wounded teams if they lose to Brigham Young that day in the Carrier Dome with this with Syracuse schedule right before they play. But I truly believe they're going to beat Brigham Young. I think they're going to be 6-2. And the atmosphere in South Bend is going to be a Super Bowl. 8-0 Clemson, 6-2 Notre Dame. That's what I'm looking forward to. But to answer the question, make or break, yes. Yes, make or break. This is a biggie. This is beyond big.
Mike is muted. Microphone and mic. There you go. I'm going to say no. Because okay. Guess what, Tim? Guess what we said, North Carolina? We were saying the same crap. This is the – oh, if they win this one, they're rolling. They got their mojo back. If they lose, you know, you're 1-3, right? Would have been – they're 2-2 right now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just going to say this about every single game because Notre Dame has no more margin for error. That's kind of how I feel. You beat – let's say they beat BYU. They're 3-2. Then it's like – you lose to Stanford, I mean, that's going to break Notre Dame's season, or it makes it. Now you're at 4-2. So I kind of feel like we're just going to be playing this game all season because Notre Dame, but, like I said, no margin for error. I mean, you lose any more, especially the ones that you're supposed to win, it's like at any point now, they're all breaking it. So I don't think this specific one is a make or break because I kind of think they all are.
Yes, because, you know, because this 2022 season, we have Marshall on our head. That thing's going to stick into our, you know, conversation each and every week because you're like, well, they lost to Marshall. They could lose to UNLV. No, they're not. They had their one hiccup. They had their, like, what in the heck did happen moment. I don't think that's going to happen. You beat BYU. Stanford's not a good football team. Stanford has not been a good football team in years. Okay, they're not a good football team. UNLV is the bottom rung. I think they're 4-1 this year, maybe. But UNLV is, they're a giant JUCO. I hate to say it, but I mean, they're a very average football program. They are. UNLV's been down for ages on top of ages. And Syracuse, you handle BYU. You take care of your two next games at home. You're not going to go in the Carrier Dome and lose that, knowing that what's next is Clemson. They'll go take care of business. So that's why I think this one's just huge, just to set it up. And of course, NC was huge, but UNC, I mean, defensively, it's the worst. That's got to be the worst Power Five defense, you know, that they're going to face. And that goes back to my thought process, Mike, is do we even know this Notre Dame team? They're 2-2. You have a bye. I feel this Brigham Young game is game one. I do. Because we really don't know still. You've had two games with one quarterback, two games with another quarterback. You know, you got upset big time with Marshall with one. You know, obviously Drew Pine was nervous Nelly in the first part of the Cal game. And then UNC, yeah, they exploded. They did all that stuff. But I'm telling you, they're bad. They're bad. And Drake May still threw for 5 touchdowns. So I don't know what – Me personally, I still don't know where we're at with this Notre Dame football team after 4 games. You know, I think we know from the last 6-7 quarters what we expect. But then even defensively, if you and I have talked before, is have they haven't finished a fourth quarter yet this season, have they? Has Notre Dame played four quarters of defense? No, they have not. And that's what, a little bit of frustration.
Maybe they haven't played four quarters of defense well, but they have played four quarters of defense, Tim.
No, they definitely have played four quarters, no doubt about that. No, but exactly. Even the Cal, I know they held them to 17 points, but it's that game. I mean, they're a batted ball from Brandon Joseph playing volleyball from having Cal go 80 yards to tie it. NC scores, what, three straight drives of 70-plus yards to finish. Marshall, Ohio State, we've talked about, go 90-plus yards to clinch and win the game. And those drives. So, yeah, Notre Dame hasn't finished. And I think that's a biggie. I'm sure those coaches talked about during the bye week. Like, guys, we got to play 60 minutes on D. This is ridiculous. And because they're always talking about, hey, we think, you know, these players keep saying that they feel they're the best defense in the country. They got the personnel and all that. They haven't done it over 60 minutes. And I think BYU is a good team to go do that with. Because you mentioned, is it make or break? They are ranked. They're a really good football team. They have a quarterback who I think is outstanding. This is a good football team. If you go out, handle business, win this game by double digits, it's going to mean a lot for this team going forward.
Yeah. Talking about the North Carolina game.
That's a weird game.
Pondering, is it fool's gold? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's like if I beat up a fourth grader,
I'm undefeated as a boxer, but that's not that impressive. I beat up a fourth grader. So,
it's a great point right there, Mike. You said fool's gold because the next week, what, Carolina just beat Va Tech's got a brand new coach. I've seen zero of Virginia Tech this week, but they go out and torch. I mean, they hold them to 10 points. So did UNC's defense get that good in 6 days to hold Virginia Tech to 10 points? Because UNC's defense has been atrocious all year. That score was shocking. Not that they scored 41 points. Their wide receivers are, they're damn good. And obviously Drake May is going to be an NFL quarterback. So, which Notre Dame, I think the schedule, I think they're going to play six or seven NFL quarterbacks. I think when it's all said and done this year, which is wild.
Folks in with us live on YouTube or watching back, please drop in the comments, like kind of your thoughts on this discussion about the make or break. I think it's kind of just a semantics thing, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of how you want to define it really. I did want to pull up real quick this is the coaches poll. I would find the coaches poll better than the media poll, even though it's like, when do the coaches even watch all these games? But, you know, these coaches know what's going on. You got BYU down here at 16, moved up four spots from the previous week. What's interesting, Tim, is I don't know if you got to watch my interview that I posted on Wednesday with a BYU reporter. And he picked Notre Dame to win by 10 points. There's a sense going into this game that BYU, and I can pull up their schedule, is kind of reeling a little bit. So they beat my USF Bulls. When I say my, I graduated from there. I could have named two players on the team, but you know, they beat USF 50-21. That 2-0 victory over Baylor 26-20. When that happened, we were kind of like, oh crap, this it's going to be tough. And then, you know, they lose to Oregon by 21 points. I don't think Oregon's, you know, that great this year either. Oregon got their, you know, doors beat off by Georgia. Like embarrassed. You know, a couple touchdown win over Wyoming, you know, fair. And 12-point win over Utah State. So it kind of seems like these last three games, they're reeling a little bit after a hot start. Just kind of any thoughts, Tim, you know, looking at this schedule and anything we're saying here?
No, great points. Number one, you know, the running game, obviously they had a heck of a running back last year. I think he had over 1600 yards. I remember watching them as, you know, in that crazy arena ball game against Virginia last year, that was going back and forth. So that, you know, their running back got drafted, I believe, with Atlanta. BYU is interesting because they're a lot of older dudes. You know, guys have been around Mormon missions, a lot of 23, 24, 25-year-olds. Reeling, they've had some injuries at wide receiver, but the consistency on this football team is the quarterback. I mean, I've gone and watched their last couple of football games that they played. He is good. I mean, I'm surprised he's not getting more. I'm sure he will after this season, just kind of like Zach Wilson did, but he's an NFL quarterback. He can make every throw. I compare him to CJ Stroud. When you just watch him, his accuracy, his deep ball, the way he throws out routes, back shoulder fades, him on the run to his left opposite his throwing arm is just beautiful to watch. So, you know, they're really good. They've had a few injuries. They're a hockey team on the D line and the whole front seven. We think Notre Dame rotates more. You guys are going to lose your mind watching Brigham Young. They're bringing in guys every couple plays, and you see it on the game film. A lot of just big dudes up front. No one really sticks out dynamic. Linebackers are just a bunch of tall, lean, Maris Leofel type guys, meaning just his length is how long Maris is compared to these guys. They do have two good corners that are getting some NFL pub, which is scary because last time they played those guys were at Marshall. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. I like his prediction with 10 points. I think Notre Dame's a better football team. I think their O-line versus that front seven is a strength. But this, you know, this also feels a little bit about the Ohio State game in that NFL quarterback with some really good wide receivers. And he averages six to eight guys catching the ball every game. He slings it around. There's not one dude to take down. It's everywhere.
And I can pull up their stats here, Tim. And don't you dare, Tim Hyde, give away that score prediction because that Friday at noon is when I will post our final thoughts and observation prediction video. We record it Thursday night because I want to make sure that we actually get to hear from Marcus Freeman on Thursday to see if there's any kind of last updates before we offer our predictions. But, Tim, they're running the ball a ton. I mean, 156 total carries. Now I'm sure some of those are sacks or, you know, just quarterback runs, off script, but 156 rushing attempts to, 171 passing attempts by Jaren Hall. So he's completing 70% of his passes, throwing for 287 yards per game, 12 touchdowns to one pick. So, it's pretty good.
He's really good. If guys watching this right now, if you haven't watched it, just go find some highlights of any game and you're just going to be like, wow, that's a good quarterback. He's really good football player. He's going to be an NFL guy. He's going to be somewhere on a two deep next man in, whatever it is, maybe be a heck of a starter down the road. I had not really watched him much. You always hear about him and then it's like, oh, I got to put on some film. I want to check these guys out. And he just really popped off. On the film, just how dynamic is his. I've heard this, his best receiver, he's had a couple of them that have been in and out all season long. So this goes back to my point. Yeah, I don't know their depth chart. I don't know all the bodies and all that. I just watch film and the scheme and some of the guys that pop off on there. They have had a handful of guys in and out all season long, like a couple guys that played in Oregon, didn't play last game, vice versa. So it's been that way a little bit on the offense.
Tim, we need to tell you something.
Yeah.
ZW Crawl 0981 says, Mike and Tim, you guys are the best. Keep it up. And we appreciate the super chat.
Thank you.
Yeah. Definitely appreciate it. Tim, just this is kind of one of those things as you're going to bed, you've had a long day at work, your kids are finally sleeping,
Love it.
You know, you're putting your head down to catch some Z's, maybe those 3 hours that you get. And you're laying down, and then Notre Dame football comes to your mind, because I'm sure that's what happens to you, Tim. Yep. And you think to yourself, what if Notre Dame beat Marshall?
Oh.
3-1. Notre Dame's a top 10 team.
Yes.
Someone commented, here. If Notre Dame would have beat Marshall, they'd be a 14-point favorite this week. I don't want to rehash the Marshall game, but just going back to this, is it a make or break thing? We're just saying, yeah, because of Marshall. This whole season is just that loss will be talked about for so long, like the USF won a decade ago. Yes. Like it's purple face brain killer. Like just one of those losses you're just never gonna. Just what if?
That's a great point, and even the. The poster mentions as well. Yeah, I mean, let's just think they won. Buckner hits Lindsey. They go up. They get a mojo. They struggle in the second half a little bit, but Buckner doesn't get. This goes. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Buckner doesn't get hurt, but they struggle and they eke out the 27-19 win, whatever the heck it ends with. And then obviously you go and get Cal. handle Cal. You run the ball down their throat. You just keep getting better and better. And UNC is UNC. Yeah, they're 3-1. That Ohio State game is like, oh, a lot of respect. You know, sure you struggled, but you're 3-1. They got to be number 10, number 12 at worst.
And
right?
People are still saying Notre Dame's in the college football playoff hunt potentially. You know, with a one loss, and if Ohio State's one of the best.
No, exactly. With one loss, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, if they beat Marshall.
Yes.
So, and I'm sure the Notre Dame haters would have a field day with that, but still, like, Notre Dame would be. It's just, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, man.
You know what? But at the same token, Marshall played their tails off. Their game plan was solid. They did so many things to stay in that game. And even then, they still had the lead, and they go 90-some-odd yards to take it over. The guy hits that 50-yarder. Whips, you know, goes through three tackles there, and it's like, bam, the upset happens. Then you get the pick six when Mayer's open to the right side. You're right. It's one that's just going to stick there, and that's a biggie because Notre Dame is really still that team. You know, obviously they don't have Tyler Buchner, but they're still the same personnel, the same schemes that they've been doing. They've just been refining and getting better at things. But had they done that, we talked about 2 weeks ago in our show, like, it's fascinating. Where would this offense be? Would they have found a way to get Pine in if Buchner was struggling to throw the ball? So many variables, but they're here now. And if they continue this mojo really from the last six quarters with Pine, there's no reason they should not be 6-2 getting ready to play Clemson.
Not to make our listeners and Tim Hyde even more depressed here, but after Marshall beats Notre Dame, they lose to Bowling Green in overtime. And then Troy, they posted 7 points against Troy. And then this past weekend beat FCS Gardner-Webb 28-7. I think that's what is their conference, Gardner-Webb? Someone in the chat drop what conference. My brother played at Presbyterian College, and they were in the same conference. I can't remember. And not that important. But, we will play the what-if game no longer. We will move on. But, Tim, just any other thoughts about this BYU team before we move on to some recruiting talk?
I think they're properly ranked. They're in that, middle tier there. What are they, 16? I think you had them. They're in that 15 to 18 bracket. That's what they are. They beat a really good Baylor team, Baylor program, even though they got boat raced by Oklahoma State recently. The Oregon game, I put the Oregon game on. Or tell you what, Oregon just has athletes everywhere. They got skill dudes. Big South, there you go. Big South. Yeah, Oregon's got athletes everywhere, which is frustrating to watch because they got receivers, and you're like, why doesn't Notre Dame have a receiver to throw it to? And that was a frustrating game to watch Oregon just throw to skill guys everywhere. But, they're properly ranked. They're a good, solid football team. They played a really hard schedule. They have some tough games after Notre Dame, but I'm with your beat writer that you interviewed, Mike. I think Notre Dame's a better football team, and I fully expect them to. I'm not going to give a score prediction, but I'm fully expecting Notre Dame to come out, play inspired football, wearing the beautiful white uniforms, and go into Vegas and come away with a big W, getting ready for Stanford.
Okay. All right. So we're not going to go super long tonight. Mr. Singer, Mr. Hyde have some other things to take care of tonight. So, but we're going to talk a little recruiting. Because we really haven't talked a whole lot of recruiting in the show. We do have a 1 p.m. Eastern time kind of recruiting half hour show that we've been doing with myself and Trey Yannity, where we just talk some Notre Dame football recruiting and then take your questions. So please tune into that or catch it back as well if you're at work and not able to watch. But obviously we want to get Tim Hyde's perspective on some of these items as well. So just kind of a general topic of discussion here, Mr. Hyde. If you look at my predictions I have logged out there, I think it's just three players in the 2023 class that I have predictions for Notre Dame to land who are currently uncommitted. I think it's three. I'm trying to think. I can't. Jeremiah Love.
Love.
The four-star running back. Tim, I can't remember.
Lions.
My lead up to this, if I mentioned. If you drop your questions, if you have a super chat, we'll get to your question right away.
You have Lions, right? The receiver?
Yeah,
we'll take the question.
Yeah, so Jeremiah Love, the running back from St. Louis. We have Tayshaun Lyons, the wide receiver from Northern California. And then the newest one that I just put in today, Brandon Hillman from Portsmouth, Virginia Churchland High School. I'm not going to dive too much into this recruitment. I want you folks to go watch the video tomorrow afternoon. Again, Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time live show. If you're not able to watch it live, catch it back or listen via podcast. But Tim, just, you know, as you look at Notre Dame's recruiting class and how it's trending, of course, the quarterback situation has not been figured out yet. But I think you got to feel pretty good about this offensive talent. You got Jeremiah Love, top 100 recruit per the consensus. Tayshaun Lyons, that's a darn good wide receiver to be the fourth guy you bring in. And then Brandon Hillman is a three-star player who has picked up all of his Power 5 offers in like the past week. I mean, the young man is just blown up. He's a high school quarterback who then got some film out there of him at safety, and everyone's like, holy crap, look at this young man. North Carolina, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, Vanderbilt, his Power 5 offers might be leaving out one or two. But this young man's just kind of blown up here recently. Who knows how many more offers he picks up. So, Tim, what are you thinking here?
Go real quick back up to Love. Click that Love one and click the consensus running backs. He's number 5 right there. It's like just – I mean, look at these guys he's up there with. These are some dudes. And Jeremiah Love, if you haven't seen his senior film, is unbelievable. I mean, Mike, even you just went and saw him recently.
Yeah, he's so good.
Guys, he's here. And I think sometimes we lose focus on that. Like, look at these guys he's up there with. These are some dudes up there. And if you haven't seen these guys highlight film ahead of him, he's up there with him, cutting ability, speed ability, hands. I mean, his inside zone is just the way he cuts, and some of this film that's been out there is outstanding. He's a top 5 national running back that Notre Dame desperately needs. I say desperately needs is the breakaway. Yeah, you know, Audric's a stud, but he ain't going to break it like this guy is. You know, Diggs wants to run outside, but Love will run inside and break it inside. He has no fear whatsoever. So Jeremiah Love is a dude, and I think we shouldn't lose focus on it. I mean, he's a top 5 national running back, and Notre Dame hasn't gotten guys like this in a long time. And he's coming from a great city in St. Louis, which is bringing more and more dudes to Notre Dame in the coming weeks.
Adam says, how does Louisville get that kid?
No comment.
They got Lance Taylor, former Notre Dame running backs coach as their OC, and we just love Lance Taylor around here. I was a huge Lance Taylor fan. It's one of my favorite human beings. But in all seriousness, I'll give you 3 letters, and this is just my opinion. I'm going to give you 3 letters here, I, L, and N. You can put those in any order you want. That's just, I mean, like what other sense does it make? I think Ruben O. El Campo, I think is that Houston?
It's funny you mentioned, we don't want to talk about Louisville and all that, but just Louisville's got what, half a dozen kids out of Orange County, Long Beach, Southern California. Has that ever happened in the history of Louisville football? No. So it's like, do the math, as they say, right? As we're moving forward and recruiting.
Yeah. El Campo's a little bit outside of Houston, but all right. Hey, a couple super chats. Cool. Joe, what's going on? He says, joining late. Sorry if this was brought up. If the Irish running game has really taken a turn, could there be play action game across the middle really open up this week?
Oh, without a doubt.
What about that Pine Dime to Styles? I believe that was a play action. I mean, shots was something missing against Cal that we saw.
Exactly. That one, I mean, no, the play action's there. Because that's the other thing. BYU, they want to play a 3-3. They're a 3-man front against, but they'll mix in a bunch of 4. They blitz a ton. They got dudes all over the place. They'll play 5 safeties and rotate those dudes into coverages all over the place. But BYU's got a couple of really good corners. I think BYU's going to come in and just load up the box, put 8 guys in there and play cover 0 out on the perimeter and if they have one safety deep, he's reading run first. So play action without a doubt, especially the way Notre Dame has been chewing up the yards in these last two games. They're going to come in there. BYU has given up chunks running the ball. If you watched the Utah State game last Thursday night, Utah State was just chewing them up off tackle. So Notre Dame's going to do that. Great point there with the play action game and getting these guys one-on-one, which has been the story of this Notre Dame season, is trying to get wide receivers up top and try and connect with these guys, which they've missed in Marshall a handful and missed a couple biggies in the Ohio State game.
Okay. Couple more super chats, and then we are going to get back to that recruiting discussion. Another one from Joe. Appreciate it. He says, unless the Irish start playing freshmen, they won't get top guys. Heard Merriweather isn't happy.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, okay, this is interesting because it's I'm not texting with Merriweather. I don't think Mike and I are in the dorms with him, so we can't answer that question. But this notion about freshmen, who's the starting corner this year? A true freshman who just showed up August 1st. So if you prove it, you play.
Who's tight end?
What's that?
Who's tight end two?
Exactly. Tight end two, Eli Raritan. You know, Holden Stays started against North Carolina. There's a true freshman. Logan Diggs was a true freshman last year, played a ton of football. You know, they started two left tackles last year that were true freshmen. And this, it's interesting because Notre Dame always has this, well, they don't play a freshman. Sure they do. If you're a dude, you play. You know, Manti Te'o came in, guess what? He played as a freshman. Jalen Smith played as a freshman. Kavari Russell in the 2012 team. Here's a team that's going to the national championship, yet a true freshman was the starting corner on that team. So if you're a guy, you will play. And I think sometimes this is thrown away. I mean, Michael Mayer on the 2020 team that goes to the Final Four played in each and every single game next to two NFL guys, Brock Wright and Tommy Tremble. Mike Mayer split as many reps as those guys did. So if you're a freshman, you're going to play. If you know what the heck you're doing, you're going to help the football team, you're going to play.
Yeah, and I will add, so the dude part, everyone can agree that Tobias Merriweather is more of a dude than Matt Salerno, but
sure.
Tobias isn't ready. Otherwise, why would Notre Dame not play him? Like, let's just use common sense. You play the better player, right? We're all going to assume that the 6'4", 200-pound, All-American wide receiver is a better talent than the walk-on who was just catching punts a couple seasons ago. Like, we can all – that's not difficult to figure out. So, Tobias, which Joe dropped another super chat. Appreciate it, Joe. You're the man. Since why is Merriweather playing? He's a dude no one else has pressed me at the wideout position. To me, it's just because he's not ready. Like, he's clearly not ready to the staff. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. So, that's – is there any other reasons, Tim, you know, as a coach yourself, like, why – he wouldn't be playing? He's just not ready.
Yeah. I mean, coaches like to win football games, and they're going to play the guys that are going to help them win. And I think that sometimes loses focus. And if he's not ready, I mean, he may just, and once again, we're not in the meetings. We're not out there seeing what Stuckey and Reese are doing and stuff like that. Marcus Freeman mentioned him, you know, personally in the press conference, like, hey, you know, go seek out information. We're out there coaching his tail off. Even Tommy Reese in yesterday's, you know, when the media meets with the assistant coaches, Reese says we've had packages for him. We just haven't gotten him in the game, and it's a game flow and things of that nature. But I mean, look at Jaden Thomas. Jaden Thomas was, I mean, Mike, you dealt with his recruiting. Jaden Thomas had SEC offers all over the place. He played as much as you and I did last year. He didn't pout, and he's a starting wide receiver this year. That happens. Lorenzo Styles, it took him 4 or 5 weeks. Then obviously an injury, and then boom, he takes off and ends up being the guy last year. Sometimes it happens. I mean, one of the premier Notre Dame's got some dudes that have played in the NFL. Will Fuller and Claypool, I mean, they barely scratched the surface as freshmen. Yet Will Fuller goes on to just dominate his sophomore and junior year and become a first-round draft choice. So not every freshman is Michael Floyd, who comes in on day one and just going to go dominate and help the team out. It doesn't happen. And if it does, those guys will play. And the last point on this I want you to get into, Mike, is this perception of, well, if the freshmen don't play, it's going to hurt recruits. Recruits' mindset are, oh, I'm going to Notre Dame, and if they give me an opportunity, I'll play. I'm not that guy. I'm a different guy. I'm Jaden Greathouse. I'm going to take care of myself and go there. And they're not – I don't think those receivers are sitting back like, oh, Tobias isn't playing. You know, I don't think that's a thing when it comes to recruiting, because each recruits its own person in its own class.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing else to add. My last kind of thought was, what other reason is there for Merriweather not to be playing? So it's either he's not ready or the coaches are idiots, right? I mean, it's one or the other. The coaches, you know, believe he's not ready and they're right, or they just lost their minds and they're playing. They're not playing the better player.
Yeah.
It's possible. I don't think so, but it is possible. Tim, I'm curious about this. DT22 said, and I believe we have two more super chats to get to after this comment, sure, real quick, so we can stay on this Merriweather topic, because it's topic every week, and appreciate Notre Dame not playing Tobias just because it gives us something to talk about for 10 minutes. I'm joking. DT22 says, get Merriweather running a few go and post routes Saturday. If the staff can't get him ready to do it, then that's on them. So, Tim, to me, it's like, you do that, then a defense knows, okay, when Merriweather comes to the game, this is all he's doing.
That's the first thing I was going to say, exactly. Oh, the freshman's in, here comes the post route or a go. I mean, should they do that anyway inside the red zone? Sure. I mean, it's easy to say, sure, why not? You know, go do a red zone fade to Tobias. But at the same time, as a football coach, do you want to get the ball in the Michael Mayer's hand? You know, is that the guy you want to get to down there? And obviously when they get in the red zone, Notre Dame's been chugging away, running the football and whatnot. So it's that old, there's only one football. So if you're trying to build a package for Tobias, who through four games, you know, he's only been there for a couple months as well. Had he been an early enrollee, I think we could all assume, so to speak, that he would be out there. He's still learning. Did he get dinged up in camp? Did he miss a few practices with a calf pull? I'm just throwing stuff out. I have no idea. I'm just using that as an example. Did he miss 5 days? We don't know. You know, Prince Colley did a little bit, and that held him back, you know, during his time as he's starting to regroup. So, you know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, get the ball to Tobias. Well, get the ball to Michael Mayer. How about Lorenzo Styles, who we all feel is their best guy? They're still slowly trying to develop him into the game plan, which they've been trying to do each and every week. And Lorenzo had a great game against UNC, but that's one out of four games. I think Styles is a better wide receiver, and let's get him involved. But the point is made. We've heard about it. It's all valid. But, you know, if he's on the field – so you take out a 12 personnel, you take out a second running back. I get the Salerno thing. Salerno's not playing 65 snaps now. Let's be smart about that. You know, I think that's overblown. We see him blocking, or he catches obviously the good pass against Ohio State and whatnot. But yeah, he's not out there a ton. And real quick, I see this super chat right here, Mike, about the transfer era. You know what? Sure. I mean, transfers, I mean, Notre Dame was losing dudes. You know, if you're not playing, you're going to transfer. That's kind of been around. Now it's just going to be bigger and better. But let me throw this out. If there's a player who's four-string at Notre Dame and he transfers, okay, does that hurt Notre Dame? I mean, seriously, does it hurt him? Especially the whole reason Marcus Freeman is there is the recruiting, that machine, those guys that he's going to try and replenish the roster. So I don't think Tobias is going to leave, but if someone else wants to leave, that's a sophomore or junior that's been on the bench for a couple of years, wish you well. I mean, that's just going to be the nature of the beast moving forward.
Joe, appreciate the support and good conversation here.
Oh, great one.
So the receiver snap counts. Tobias Merriweather's played four. Okay. That's equal to Deon Colsey, who's a sophomore, by the way. Which injuries there.
His injuries, yeah.
Jaden Thomas, 168. Styles, 209. Lindsey, 234. So those are your three main receivers who've been playing.
Yes.
So Salerno has played 50 snaps. So
four games. Exactly.
Through four games. So
yeah. And most of those, Mike, I've gone through and watched every game, charted all the things. Most of those are quick little flats, a lot of blocking, a lot of motion, chip the end, things of that nature. He's not Chris Finke going out there playing, you know, as a walk-on, playing slot and being the major dude at slot. He's not that when he's out there whatsoever. He's out there to give a guy a blow, a rest. And a lot of time he's out there when there's 12 personnel, and they're trying to highlight, you know, Michael Mayer and run the football.
Joe says, I'm just worried that they're holding him to a higher standard. Ooh, no, what? I mean, Stuckey came in and, I mean, recruited Merriweather that last – oh, no, never mind. He had already signed.
Yeah, I mean, didn't that – you know, once they were allowed to go on the road, wasn't that one of the first –
He did a home visit with him.
Marcus Freeman.
Stuckey did. So, yeah, I mean, he's been his guy since, you know, Merriweather got – so I wouldn't be too worried about it, Joe. I mean, we're still only four games into the season.
I know. You know? But real quick, you know what? I talked about this on the Blue and Gold message boards with some guys maybe a week or two ago. Like, for me, you know, maybe this hasn't been talked about, but subliminally underneath the everything, right, is Merriweather's kind of that symbolism of Brian Kelly, correct? Brian Kelly went and had barbecue at his house, took a phone call, got in the car with Tommy Rees and those guys saying, hey, I'm going to LSU. You guys want to come? And they bailed on Tobias. So, I, you know, sometimes, you know, he's the one receiver that stuck after CJ Williams and Walker bailed at the last second. So, I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, is it Merriweather's like, oh, we want him to have success to rub it in Kelly's face because he bailed on them after that night in recruiting? I don't know if that's there. I just thought I've used that as an example and thought it was interesting. We all like Tobias. His film's outstanding. And maybe what killed Tobias is all the hype, correct? In June, July, you know, he's running around in t-shirt and shorts, and then camp started, and it's a different world in camp than it is 7-on-7.
Okay. I actually missed a super chat from earlier, so apologize. ZW Cross says, how big of an impact will Peyton make if he stays? So we're talking about Peyton Bowen, the five-star safety. So, Tim, I went and saw Mike Matthews, who's a Notre Dame 2024 receiver safety target, play against Caleb Downs, who was a five-star safety target for the Irish in the 2023 class. Well, Downs might be the best player, like the best football player in the country. Like, he really just might be it.
Love that guy. I told you that.
Number two safety. He's behind a pretty darn good one. So how big of an impact would this be, Tim, if the Irish are able to hold on to him?
That's funny you say that because I mentioned that, right, about 6 months ago. I thought Downs was the best. I just think he's just a football dude, man. He's just dynamic out there on the field. He can do everything. But Bowen is massive. He's massive for this team. Number one, the depth. It's going to be a huge position in 2023. You're going to lose Houston Griffith, DJ Brown, Brandon Joseph. I know he has an extra year, but Brandon Joseph doesn't want to play a fifth year at Notre Dame. He wants to go to the NFL, and he's going to – I bet you he goes to the NFL. So you're going to have open spots. You're going to have Ramon Henderson and Xavier Watts are going into their fourth year. They're going to their senior year. Yeah, they have an extra year, a COVID year, all that junk, but they're going to be seniors. Bowen is going to – I don't know if he's an early enrollee. Is he, Mike? Would you know?
I think so.
Okay, so let's say he's there in January. How is he not the third safety? How is he not a nickel safety, right? Do they put him in to play deep? He is – his speed – I mean, you just saw him live. He is fast. His speed is electric. Great return, man. That's the other thing. We talked 23 recruiting. This class has like 6-7 return guys. What are you going to have, like a whole hands team on kickoff return? Just put them all out there. I mean, the return men in this 2023 class is outstanding. But Peyton Bowen is huge because he's fast, he's athletic, he's a legit top two, three safety in America, as you've shown. And he's a guy that could be a guy day one at a position of massive need in the 2023 class. Yeah, not to rub salt in the wound. That's why it sucks Keeley left, because Keeley was an instant depth guy playing on day one at that Viper. So, but Bowen, he's a playmaker. He's going to be on the field game one next year when they're playing in Dublin, Ireland.
All right. I think one more super chat. And then we'll go about 10 more minutes. Sure. I'm talking some Notre Dame football and recruiting, but let's hear from our friends over at Rogue Shop, which is a husband and wife outfit, as Mr. Rogue and his wife Char are craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. Grow it and farm it all themselves, do everything by hand. And as our YouTube audience can see on the screen here, website to visit is rogueshop.com. Products that will give you euphoria, that's for sure. But really so much more if that's not your thing. Products that have been known to help with anything from stress and anxiety to chronic pain and insomnia. If you have a question about what a product does, you can jump on a live chat, which you guys can see down here in the left corner of the screen here. And you can chat with the owners and they'll steer you in the right direction. I've received a box of product and Char, the wife, had a detailed handwritten instruction for me, as I'd never used these products before. They'll take care of you and answer all of your questions. So topicals that are great for pain specific areas, make your life better if you suffer from stress, insomnia, reducing inflammation, anxiety, mood disorders. So if you want a good night's sleep when that sleep cycle comes, you want to stay asleep. And these products will help with that. Check them out at rogueshop.com and use promo code blue and gold. I think it is. Yes, there it is. Blue and gold. Use those three words. I think it's 10% off. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not didn't prepare that part, but yes, you're going to get yourself a good deal there. So appreciate our friends over at rogueshop.com. Yeah, you might need it for this Notre Dame football time. You might need some Rogue Shop products.
We'll find out Saturday night, huh? Like, holy moly. But hey, real quick, Mike, on this comment, you know, Joe's done some super chats and he comments here, kind of brushed over the, you know, one-way door comment. What did you say, Joe, if you could just respond since you've sent a few already? I don't remember what he said. He's talking about the one-way door as far as people leaving if they transferred. I was just curious.
This is just college football in 2022. I'm kind of over the patting everybody on the back. Yep. You know, like, play the best players.
Yep.
And bring the best guys in. I don't care. Like, I think Notre Dame should have brought a transfer quarterback in last year, but I don't think they did because they wanted to kind of keep the peace in the quarterback room.
Yep.
That's kind of my read on it. And I think that was a bad decision, especially with a quarterback who runs and has a history of injury. So,
and that, you know, there's a gentleman here who comments, you know, he says, you know, cause I've mentioned, I think Cam Hart, Brandon Joseph are going pro. Why would you, if you're a skill player, why would you come back for a fifth year? I think if you're coming back for a fifth year, is that positive for you? So guy says that he doesn't think he's ready, but in this day and age, and you're an athlete, you're a skill guy. People want to question Kevin Austin. Well, Kevin Austin did make a practice squad. He's in the NFL. He's getting paid, and practice squad guys always get moved up eventually. So Kevin Austin's going to be in the NFL. And I think Cam Hart and Brandon Joseph, they're going to have the degrees. You think Brandon Joseph wants to keep going to class after going to Northwestern for 3 years? No, he wants to go make some money, go play some football. And I think Cam Hart's the same. Well, the same thing.
All right. Sorry about the delay in this. Roy Ben Clark, any shot Notre Dame can get Drake May to transfer. He has to know he will never win anything at North Carolina. If not, Texas will be 3 deep at quarterback. Okay. So Roy Ben Clark thinks that, Drake May could transfer to Texas. Is that what you're saying? But
I think he's saying, how do you get him to Notre Dame? Correct. Cause he's a heck of a core. I think that's yeah. Probably, he's probably talking about Texas and their recruiting and all their guys and whatnot. Okay.
Well, Notre Dame is not allowed to tamper, but yeah. I agree with you that he will not win anything at North Carolina because I want this to kind of – this list of teams to be implanted in people's brains. It's Iowa State for sure, North Carolina. I want to throw Miami in there. What's Miami's record this year? Do you know, Tim?
Well, that's – no.
Well, they just lost to Middle Tennessee State. Yeah, so I don't hear anything about those three schools being back.
Hey.
Don't want to hear it. Texas, I'm close, but you know they're recruiting pretty well.
And I've told you, being a West Coast guy, I can't tell you how many stories I've read, magazine covers I've heard about Arizona State. This is the year. ASU out west, it's always about ASU, and they're just and they just can't do it. They can't figure out how to tie their shoes out there most years. So it's ASU's in that class, I would say, from the West Coast.
But he would be a great quarterback to get next year. But any shot, I would be pulling something out of my backside if I gave you an opinion on that.
You know what, Mike? And you mentioned this on the message board. I saw in one of your comments was, you know, someone asked, "Oh, does Notre Dame have a shot at them?" And you're like, "Yeah." And then someone asked back, and you're like, "Guys, coaching changes." He's like, "College football it's wild nowadays." Look at the coaches' changes that are happening now. How many of those commitments are getting calls from coaches that have already offered him in the past trying to flip? You just don't know, especially with quarterbacks. And quarterback's going to be the biggie because, I mean, you posted, I think, right before the first game at Ohio State, was it 47-48% of the FBS was transfer quarterbacks starting at a new school this season, which is just insane. Crazy.
Tim, every time you say, "Mike, I remember reading something you wrote," I'm like, "Oh, crap, I don't remember."
I remember a lot, so
I'm
it's
nervous.
All positive.
Like you've brought up a couple times what I said about Carr, where I think Carr would be ranked reclassified. I don't remember saying that, but
no, I hear you.
I'll take your word for it.
I do. Hey, I remember a lot what Mike Singer posts on the board because it's thoughtful and you always have good points. So I do remember those.
All right. Well, we didn't really cover our recruiting discussion a whole lot, but yeah, the gist is Notre Dame's trending for some offensive talent to kind of shore up. I think we'll see what happens at quarterback. It's still very much TBD, but Notre Dame offensive recruiting just keeps taking steps up these past few years.
That it's athletes. It's going back to the guy's super chat. Well, what if they go in the transfer portal? Well, that's what Marcus Freeman's doing. He's trying to replenish the roster. Fill it up with competitive, athletic dudes that are like, "Hey, you got to beat these guys out." These guys, he's going to keep doing this every year. I've made the comment, 2024 class is going to be better than 23. I truly believe that. And just a quick little soundbite on the guy from Virginia. I mean, boom, you want to talk about high school football recruiting. I mean, this is like something out of the 1980s. Where you don't know what's happening until you get a VHS tape and you start watching it. And all of a sudden this guy starts getting blowing up recruiting and all this stuff. Don't want to leave the show without talking about him. Athlete. I mean, everything. get that. Oh man, I had a kid do that. I got a 15-yard penalty, but anyway, California, you can't hurdle. But I love this guy's. Yeah. You can't hurdle in California. I love this guy's skill set. Me, I would play him at safety.
Look at this tackle.
Rover, long safety. Look at this guy. I know people see the hot offensive film. Notre Dame has not had dudes like this in that back end. I would play him at strong safety, Rover, whatever, a box guy, and just let this guy run, fill, and be an enforcer. He is violent. When I say violent, guys, I mean he loves to hit. He loves playing football. This guy is just an old school athlete. Get him on the field down the road. And look at that hit. I'm laughing for those, as Mike always says, watch on podcast. That's a hit.
He's a quarterback who they just like, "All right, you want to play some safety?" I don't think he played safety before.
I was reading your articles that you did on him. Is that kind of what happened? All of a sudden he just started playing defense and people started getting film on him?
I think so. That's my understanding.
Man, he is just – look at that speed. he's one of those hidden gems, right? And there's nothing wrong with hidden gems. We get so enamored by list and rankings. When you see a guy like this, you're like, yeah, this guy's legit.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like, doesn't look like a three-star player.
No. Yeah. But that's Dylan Edwards. That's how many, I mean, Jeremiah Love, when we first started talking about Jeremiah Love, Mike, he was, what, the 400s? No one ever heard of him. And then all of a sudden Notre Dame offered, Alabama offered, all of a sudden, because he only had 100 carries. I think 90 carries.
Well, his thing was a lot of track. It's track, yeah, track, I want to say. So we got some track times out there.
Yep.
So on three, you know, Blue and Gold joined the On Three Network in January. I freaking love being at On Three. It's amazing because, like, I talk all the time with our scouting guy, and we just, you know, just kind of trade notes and thoughts. Yep. And, you know, anytime I get data to pass along to him, like arm length, verified times, verified height and weights, like that stuff is really important to Charles Power, who leads these of the rankings at On Three. Again, he does a fantastic job. I have such a belief in what he does. You know, rivals, you know, can't really say the same. But my point here is that those verified measurable times and, you know, arm length, hand size, all that stuff. Yep. That's really important to Notre Dame and these colleges as well. They want to know how good of a basketball player you are. They want to know, oh, Nico, the quarterback out in California, the quarterback who's committed to Tennessee, oh, he's a darn good volleyball player. Like, yep. These things are really important. I don't remember the start of my rant, what the point of it was.
No, it was just, that, you know, it's fun, you know, real quick, you mentioned that about On Three. I love that too. When you get a verified thing, they post that verified 6'2", verified 4'5", all those things. It's not just a number, you know, coaches say, oh, he runs a 10'2". All right. Well, is it real? You know, and you get it there. I like that. And real quick, a little high five to On Three. Cause we've been in football season, I've been doing so much football. I love the updates they've done on the commits. They have all the rankings of all the services next to their name now on the commit page. I think that's awesome. So you don't have to click it. You just see it and you see what they are right across the board. So you see Peyton Bowen, what he is and all the services. I don't know how new, it's got to be new within the last few weeks.
I love it. So just the folks thinking that, oh, On Three hates Notre Dame commits. Everywhere I've ever worked, oh, the school hates our commits. Or the place you work at hates the commits.
Yeah.
On Three's got Peyton Bowen ranked the highest of all the services. Charles Jagasaw is the same. Now there's, of course, the opposite end of that, Drake Bowen, but it all evens out. So
that's why you have a consensus ranking, as we like to use, correct?
Exactly. All right, yep. Mr. Hyde, before we started recording, we were like, oh, maybe half hour, 45 minutes, hour later. So, guys, tons of content on our Blue and Gold YouTube page. So tomorrow we get Marcus Freeman at noon. We'll post that video. We get 3 minutes we're allowed to post, so we'll do that. Tyler Horka will give us his reaction to what Freeman says. We'll have our recruiting live show at 1 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday. Tim Hyde and I will be posting a video Friday at noon. Final thoughts, observations, and prediction before the game. All of this good stuff. Post-game live show. Tim, you good for post-game live show?
Hey, late night in Vegas, Saturday night. Get ready.
Goolsby show Sunday. I will text Goolsby to double-check that he's good for that. And then, yeah, we'll do it all again as Notre Dame plays Stanford next week. Great show tonight. Appreciate all the super chats. Hit that thumbs up before you get out of here. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And as always, we will catch you guys next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.